Time to welcome into the program our friend Kyle Draper of NBC Sports Boston. Hi there, Kyle.
Hey, what's up, Rich? How you been, man?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you. How's your day going so far?
Good. Just headed into the office, getting ready for a jam-packed Arbella early edition at 6:30. So, just in my pre-game routine, getting my game face on.
Excellent. A lot has happened since last we talked. A very different Celtics roster right now. Let's start with the additions. A couple of veterans added in Teague and Thompson. What does that do for the team?
That's huge for the Celtics, because when we're looking at their roster, and we saw it against the Miami Heat, they were relying on a lot of young guys, whether it be Grant Williams or, Javonte Green, and, guys like that, who are solid players. But when you're talking about a playoff game, you needed some veterans. And Tristan Thompson's a world champ. Jeff Teague's a former All-Star. And so I think, this no doubt helps them. It allows the young guys coming off the bench time to develop, and they don't have to get thrown right into the fire. It completes their team, Rich. It makes them a more balanced team with these two veterans.
Well, I was sold when you tweeted that Teague is a first-team All-Draper.
I've always been a big fan of his, and they kid me over at NBC Sports Boston about the kind of players I like. But he's just a savvy veteran, He's a guy that won't hurt you. He knows how to play the game, won't turn it over, can get you 20 points if need be, but could also get you 10 assists as well. And so I thought one of the issues the Celtics had this past season is when Kemba Walker was out, there was such a big drop-off between Kemba and, let's say, a Brad Wanamaker. Now you throw in a Jeff Teague, so when Kemba's out of the game or out of the lineup, you get a veteran who has accomplished some things in this league, and there won't be as big of a drop-off.
And with the signing of that extension, this is now, I guess we can safely say, this is Jason Tatum's team.
Yeah, the largest contract ever handed out by the Celtics goes to 22-year-old Jason Tatum, and deservedly so. I mean, this guy is not only the future but the present, right? He's the best player on the team, and the sky's the limit for him. And so for Danny Ainge and the Celtics to get him locked up, is tremendous. And, I'm expecting big things. And, we were discussing over at the station, what do we expect this upcoming season? Well, I fully expect Tatum to be even better. I expect Jaylen Brown to even be even better. So, these contracts that these two guys have been handed out this year and then Jaylen Brown last year, well-deserved.
Kyle, you and Chris Forsberg did your power rankings. You've got the Celtics at number 4 right now in the East. So are they a better or a worse team after these changes to the roster?
Man, that's a great question, because they improved because of Teague and Tristan Thompson. But losing a guy like Gordon Hayward, which really set themselves apart from the other teams when you could throw out a big four, I think that really hurt. But, it's really not as much about the Celtics as, let's say, it's about, what the other teams in the Eastern Conference have done. When you look at Milwaukee, they add an all-star caliber and a Drew Holiday. When you look at Brooklyn, they're healthy now, and their roster is really good. And then you look at Miami. Hey, Miami just beat the Celtics. And so I think the Celtics are pretty much right where they were a season ago. I just feel like the other teams in the Eastern Conference got better.
We're talking with Kyle Draper here on Downtown. Well, Patriots lost another tough one. Now they get set to take on Arizona this weekend. Still mathematically in it, but how much of a realistic shot do the Patriots have at being a playoff team?
I mean, they have a puncher's chance, but I'm not confident. It would take a Hail Mary of sorts, because the problem with the Patriots is, it's like they've shown us they can play with anybody, but they've also shown us they can lose to anybody too, right? And so, if they go, what are we talking, 6-2 or whatever, 6-1 over their last 7 games, at last 6 games, I guess it would be now, because they're 4-6. I mean, think about it. You got to go undefeated almost just to get to 10 wins in
right.
The Patriots. And so I just don't have the confidence in them that they can do that. And I know the division isn't, we always talk about the division, but even the Jets matchup later this season isn't a guarantee for the Patriots, because we've seen them lose to bad teams like the Houston Texans last week.
Kyle, news today in college football in the national scene. Nick Saban testing positive for COVID-19. College basketball getting set to roll out. Is it a mistake for college athletes to be playing their games right now?
Oh, that's a tough one, Rich, because here we are, you know, almost to December, and we're still dealing with this virus. I think, you know, it's really, you know, a shame and a crime that, you know, as a country, we are still in this position. But then we see, you know, Major League Baseball, NFL. But the difference is, Rich, those guys are getting paid millions of dollars to play this game. You know, and so we're carting out young men who aren't being paid outside of their scholarship. But when you look at the landscape of college sports, you know, we're talking billions of dollars. So I understand. And the problem with this pandemic, you know, it's hard to come up with a right answer. You know, it's hard to say shut everything down. But then what about, you know, we're talking so many people's livelihoods. We're talking about what about the officials and their income? What about the administrators? What about, you know, the strength and conditioning coaches who aren't getting paid, you know? And so it's a trickle-down effect. And, you know, this is what happens, though, when you have a once-in-a-lifetime, once-in-a-hundred-year pandemic. It just affects so many people in so many ways, and there are no easy answers when it comes to something like this.
Well, Kyle, it's been an awfully tough year for everybody, but as we arrive at Thanksgiving tomorrow, what are you thankful for?
No, I'm thankful that, you know, I've been able to make it through this far, and that, you know, I have a loving family, a roof over my head. You know, I'm thankful for my health. You know, it's these are dark times, you know, in our society and, you know, across the world. And I just hope we can continue to power on and survive these difficult times, and hopefully brighter days are ahead. But, you know, I wake up every day and thank my lucky stars that, you know, even though 2020 has been, you know, by far the worst year of my life, I'm still here to say I'm living, and not everyone has been so fortunate. So I'm very thankful for, you know, being able to take a breath each and every day.
Well said, my friend. And on a lighter note, what's your number one Kyle Draper non-turkey dish, side dish or dessert? What do you like most about that Thanksgiving Day meal?
I'm a stuffing guy, man. You know, I could eat the homemade stuffing, the box stuffing. It doesn't matter. Throw some gravy on it. And then, you know, obviously the leftovers, you make turkey sandwiches with the cranberry sauce. And so I'm already loosening the belt because it's going to be a feast at the Draper household.
That sounds great. Well, we'll be watching tonight our Bella Early Edition. Hey, we're thankful that we get to visit with you every week, Kyle, because you're the best in the business. Thanks so much and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
All right, Rich, appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Kyle Draper on Downtown.